Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up at heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
I'm going to start our sermon time this morning with a short video clip, but I want to take just a minute to set it up for you, since the clip comes right in the middle of a movie. How many of you have seen the movie Apollo 13? How many of you lived through the drama of Apollo 13? And there may even be some here in our congregation who were working on that project when this happened. But this is the Apollo mission that where they had all the trouble, and they didn't know if the crew was going to get back alive, this is the point in the story where they've just discovered that one of the filters in the capsule that filters out carbon monoxide is not working. They have plenty of oxygen at this point, but the capsule's filling with carbon monoxide, and they've discovered that this filter's not working because it was made for only one person instead of all three of them. And so they have to make some adjustments. And that's where we find ourselves in this movie. And I've asked David to turn the sound up some so that it would be basically the sound level that you would have in a movie theater. So it may seem a little loud at first, but because of the dialogue in the clip, it needs to be loud so you can hear it. So let's take just a minute or so to watch this clip.
Gene, we have a situation brewing with the carbon dioxide.
We had a CO2 filter problem on the lunar module.
5 filters on the limb,
which were meant for 2 guys for a day and a half.
So I told the doctor.
You're already up to 8 on the gauges. Anything over 15 and you get impaired judgment, blackouts, the beginnings of brain asphyxia.
What about the scrubbers on the command module?
They take square cartridges.
The ones on the limb are round.
Tell me this isn't a government operation.
It just isn't a contingency we've remotely looked at.
Those CO2 levels are going to be getting toxic.
Well, I suggest you gentlemen invent a way to put a square peg in a round hole. Rapidly.
Okay, people, listen up. People upstairs, candidates missed one, and we gotta come through. We gotta find a way to make this fit into the hole for this. Using nothing but that. Let's get it organized.
Okay, let's build a filter.
Better get some coffee.
The deadly CO2 gas is literally poisoning the astronauts with every breath in and out.
Heads up.
And smoke. People will not comment.
Go. Heads up, people. Look out now.
What's this?
That's what they gotta make.
Well, I hope you got the procedures for me.
Right here.
That's it?
We got to figure out how to make this fit in the hole made for this out of that. And they actually did it. We know because they got home safely. The next photograph shows an actual photograph of what they came up with. I think it was known as the mailbox. I think because it delivered. You take what you have and you use it to do what needs to be done. I would like to suggest to us this morning that instead of the traditional title of the scripture reading we heard, instead of that traditional title, which is the feeding of the 5,000, that we consider this story as the awakening of the 12 to possibility. Because that's really what takes place in this story. The story leaves great room for interpretation because we really don't know how all those people got fed, do we? All it says is they started off with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus blessed it, they dispersed, and they had 12 baskets left over. There's a whole lot of room for interpretation here. One very widely accepted interpretation of this is that the simple act of generosity on the part of Jesus and the disciples to share what little they had motivated the people in the crowd to begin to share among themselves. Because it really does make sense that 5,000 people wouldn't be out in the middle of nowhere without having brought some provision. I mean, we don't even go to the beach without a cooler full of food. We don't even take a long trip without making sure we've at least got a snack and a bottle of water with us. And if you've noticed, at the very end of this story, and it's told the same way in other Gospels, it says, and they fed 5,000, not including women and children. We were just counting the men. So there were probably well over 10,000 people here. But that's a very important detail. There were women and children. Now, how many mothers are going to take their children out to a hillside to listen to some guy preach and not take something to eat with them? As usual, it was the women who came to the rescue in this story. So, if we begin to see this story not as some supernatural miracle where the bread was and fish were reproduced, but as a simple act of generosity in using the resources that they had, then this story becomes a story of possibility rather than a story of certitude. Now, the difference between certitude and possibility is that certitude is we are certain that this is the way it is. And possibility says, well, it could be another way. This is also a story of not having enough as compared to having what you need. So certitude often tells us that we don't have enough. Oh, we've counted, and I'm sorry, but there are only 5 loaves and 2 fish here, and this is definitely not enough to feed 5,000 people, because this is how it is and this is all we have. But possibility says, but wait a minute. If we have at least five loaves and two fish, then surely among all these people, somebody else has some food. So this becomes a story of certitude and not enough, or possibility and all that we need. Jesus sees possibility. In just about every instance when Jesus encounters someone, Jesus sees the possibility in that person, in that situation. Jesus doesn't go on social stereotypes. Jesus doesn't say, oh no, you're a tax collector, you would never make a good disciple. Jesus sees the possibility. Jesus doesn't say, oh no, that woman is a prostitute, go ahead and stone her. Jesus says, no, this life has value and dignity and possibility. And so our story of the 5,000 plus becomes a story not of certitude and not having enough, but a story of possibility and having what we need. And at the core of this is a small act of generosity. Last week we talked about mustard seeds and yeast and pearls and treasures. We talked about how it's the small things in life that can become much, much more. And Jesus shows us this in action in this story. One thing about this story that's very interesting that many of us have a tendency to overlook is that the story starts out saying, after these things. The things that he's talking about, it says, after these things, Jesus wanted to get away. Jesus wanted to get away and be by himself. And the things that the story refers to is that Jesus has just learned that John the Baptist, possibly Jesus' longest, best friend, has just been murdered. And so he needs to get away. He needs to be in a quiet place that we were talking about earlier with the young people. But the people come following him. And they need what Jesus is offering. They need healing. They need wholeness. And Jesus looks upon them with compassion. The word compassion in the New Testament, it's not a pretty word. It's splagnitzomai. And it means a rumbling in the bowels. That's what the word compassion is. It's this deep feeling in the gut when you feel someone else's pain. And that's what Jesus has for this crowd. He looks at them and says, they're hungry. His disciples say, well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blesses it. And this small act, however it happened, we don't know how it happened, But we do know that it started with a small act of generosity and sharing. And in the end, everybody got to go to Fellowship Hall and get a loaf of bread. Now, just in case you believe this is a bunch of religious superstition, okay? Let's bring it into the 21st century. As the quantum physics of the 20th century began to be accepted and be used to do things like send us to the moon, we began to get away from Newtonian physics. And the real core difference between Newtonian physics and quantum physics is the difference between certitude and probability and possibility. Because in Newtonian physics, there were set laws that say this is how the physical world is and this is how the physical world reacts. And in many ways, those laws still hold true. But quantum physics comes along and says, no, on a different level, from a different perspective, we discover that reality is in constant motion and that there are always probabilities and possibilities of things being different than they are. And so our 20th and 21st century sciences are finally catching up with Jesus and many other wise sages of the ages who realize that God's good creation is enough and filled with possibility and probability. And the probability part of it is that when we act in certain ways, the probability is that we will get certain results. When we plant a seed, a plant grows. If it's a tomato seed, a tomato grows. If it's a pumpkin seed, a pumpkin grows. If we are kind, we get kindness. If we are cruel, we encounter cruelty. We reap what we sow. That's the great probability within the possibility. So as we come to the table today, let us remember this story of the feeding of the multitudes as a story of possibility and probability in our lives. The probability that if we love, we will experience love. The probability that if we share, the possibilities of abundance are wide open. I've often said when we come to the table that because this bread is holy, all bread is holy. And because this wine is holy, all wine is holy. So the table is a doorway into the immense abundance and possibility of the love of God being shared in the world. Amen. There's another scene in that movie, Apollo 13, where a reporter is talking about how dire things are and how things have failed. And the flight director, Gene Chernin, says, no, I think this will be our finest hour. And in many ways, that's what the gospel is about. When it's the deepest, when it's the darkest, when it is the most dire, when we look around the world and we see hunger and war, when we turn on our television sets and we see political chaos and anger and fighting and feuding, when we see refugees fleeing across borders just to have a place to live peacefully, when we see these things, they seem so big and we want to give up. But the gospel tells us, no, this is our finest hour, because there is always possibility and there is always enough. Take what you have and give it. And it is amazing what the Spirit of God does. Let us go from this place and take this bread and this wine and fit it into the hole of need in our world. Amen.